You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Emergency department doctors across the country usually have every modern medical convenience at their fingertips. They can order tests. They can consult with specialists, things that most medical professionals may take for granted here in the United States. But in other parts of the world, access to medical care is a luxury. And that is one of the many reasons why a team of doctors and other medical professionals spend their own money as well as their vacation time to travel to Thailand once a year to train medics to help people living in eastern Myanmar, once known as Burma. Joining me live in studio to talk about this medical mission trip is Dr. Chuck Washington. He's an emergency room physician with St. Luke's. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
So you literally just got back from one of these mission trips.
Yes, 10 days ago.
So it's fresh in your mind. And tell me how you got started with this, because this was not the first time going over to Thailand and doing this.
That's correct. Yeah, before medicine, I did public health, and that's how I got into medicine. And then I lived in Thailand in 2007 to 2008, and that's how I started working with the different ethnic minority groups in eastern Burma or eastern Myanmar.
And what did you find? I mean, why was there a need in that specific region?
So Myanmar has had decades of civil conflict mm-hmm. between the main ethnic group and the ethnic groups along the border. And a lot of the aid has come across the border through Thailand or through China. And so it makes the big ethnic or the big non-governmental organizations such as MSF and WHO hard to come across because they can't come across those borders to help those people. And so smaller non-governmental organizations and volunteers provide the resources in those areas because no one else can access those areas.
So you go over there and you take a group of colleagues mm-hmm. and you use your own money, your own vacation time. And talk to me about this last trip, because you train upwards of 20 plus medics, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, so we did the training, as you mentioned, in Thailand. Someone has to cross the border without documentation, because where the medics work, I can't go or anyone else can go legally. There's parts of Burma that we could all, or Myanmar, we could all go on vacation, but there's parts that we can't go. Mm. So the medics have to cross the border. It's easier for them to cross the border to us. And then we go over doing emergency training, because the medics provide care in the communities. There's no doctors, there's no nurses, there's very limited resources in those areas. So medics provide all the care. And so it's either they provide the care or their population suffers.
And the type of care, I mean, it goes from, I mean, there are landmines. I mean, simple things all the way to very serious injuries that these medics are dealing with.
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, so like many developing countries, we see a lot of diarrheal diseases, upper mm-hmm. respiratory infections, kind of the common things, wounds that get infected. But, you know, Myanmar is the third most mined country in the world. There's a lot of landmine injuries, despite democracy and Aung San Suu Kyi, you know, leading the democracy. There's still active conflict that we just do not hear about so much in the Western press, but there's still not peace. There's still not peace agreements, and there's still a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of violence going on in those regions.
How many years have you been going over and doing this?
So this is my eighth year of doing this program, and then I've been going, you know, again, I lived over there mm-hmm. in 2007, 2008, so for a fair number of years.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm speaking with Dr. Chuck Washington. He's an emergency room physician with St. Luke's, talking about his mission trips to Thailand. And talk to me about this specific group of people. I want to say it correctly, the Karen?
The Karen.
So tell me about this group, because we have a large resettlement here in our area?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Just to give you a little background, Myanmar is one of the most ethnically diverse countries in the world, 133 different ethnic groups, different language trees. These are not kind of cousins, but they're all mm-hmm. kind of separated. The Karen are one of the ethnic groups that have their own kind of area, own language, own dress, own customs. And they're really asking for political autonomy in those regions. Many have been resettled throughout the world. We actually, as you mentioned, we have a large population in the Treasure Valley that have been resettled here. It's just one of those groups that is really needing for some help. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's really unique is that with all of the conflict, a lot of their help, again, comes across from a different country in Thailand and those people who live in those regions.
How do you get people who are willing to be these medics? And what I mean by that is because there is still political unrest. I mean, whether we see that in the Western press, as you said, or not. And these medics are even sometimes potentially smuggling supplies across borders, things like that that could get them in tremendous amounts of trouble. What makes them continue to do this?
It's all for their communities. So they're typically the best and brightest women, men and women in their communities, who live off the generosity of the communities. They're not typically paid. Mm. They're provided housing and food, but they care about the health of their communities. They have other things they can do. They could be resettled in a third country like the Karen and Treasure Valley. Many of them have very good English skills, so they could get jobs with non-governmental organizations, and they could go and do other things, but they really care. In the past, when there was a lot of conflict, they had to really blend in with the population because mm-hmm. they'd be singled out, because if you take out a medic, then, you know, that really takes down the confidence and really the...
Well, you potentially take out more people in that ethnic minority group if you don't have medics.
That's correct, yeah.
I mean, that's how that would work.
It's a tough position.
And you, if I'm correct, you also, it's Hands of Hope and Community Partners International that help with some of this?
Yeah, so Hands of Hope is a local NGO based out of Nampa that donates a lot of supplies. So they actually take lightly used or kind of recycled medical supplies mm-hmm. from mostly St. Al's and St. Luke's, and then provide it to people going on missions throughout the world. I mean, you'd be surprised the number of missions are going through different parts of Africa and Haiti and different parts of Southeast Asia. So they help do that, and they've been a great resource. And then Community Partners International is the non-governmental organization that I'm affiliated with that provides us the resources to go over mm-hmm. and that support to go over and work with them.
How do you get your colleagues to say yes to something like this?
It's a challenge. You know, it sounds great, right?
Right.
So you go over and you help, but again, once you think about it, the people that come with me have to take time off of work, have to pay their own way, and it's a long trip. It's, you know, 30 some hours to get over there. It's not a vacation.
Right.
Support a family. I just, I'm supported by my wife. That's how I'm able to go over. She's very graceful in allowing me to go over and work with the Karen.
When you having done this for 8 years, you've trained many medics. Do they come back to get more training? Have you had conversations with anyone since they've been trained to see how this has affected
the
population?
Yes, every year we get medics that return, and we hear about their stories and their sick cases and the difficult patients they've really taken care of under really challenging mm-hmm. circumstances. Unfortunately, just like a lot of places in the developing world, there is a lot of brain drain. And like I mentioned before, these are kind of the best and the brightest. So they get, you know, almost siphoned off by other groups that can pay them, mm-hmm. you know, a salary, or they decide that they're tired of being a medic in the jungle and decide to get, relocated or, you know, become refugees in a different country. So it's really challenging, but we definitely, that's something that drives me back, as I see that the training that we do helps patient care, and we see that the patients that they're able to help, and again, these very austere environments.
Mm-hmm. And what I think would be difficult is when we think of things like, you know, you said like an upper respiratory infection, right? Most people here, you go to the doctor. I mean, you take care of it. I mean, for most people. But there are people, when we talk about countries like Myanmar, this could be fatal for some people.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, it's their access. So they have no access to any imaging, no radiologic imaging, very limited access to any laboratory testing. And so the medics, you know, have this, you know, they can go see the medic, but the medic has limited ability to treat them. Mm-hmm. And then referral could be up to a 10-day walk to a facility that may not speak your language and is often fee-for-service. They serve mostly a rural, agricultural farming population that do not have a lot of disposable income. So that travel alone and then the cost of any treatment at that facility that they'd get referred to is very, very daunting and very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so the medics, that puts a lot of pressure on both the patient and the medic in these environments.
So you do this once a year?
It's typically once a year, yeah.
So even though you just got back, you're going back next year?
That's the plan, yeah. So it's, you know, once I get back, we start planning. I do a lot of fundraising to help provide for this, you know, to provide the training course. And if we can fundraise extra money, we try to get money to buy supplies and then to pay the medics some money. Because it's a Department of Health that's not based on taxation, but really based on, you know, donations just because of the structure and how poor the population they serve is.
Well, you're doing good work. Thank you so much
for coming in today.
I've been talking with Dr. Chuck Washington. He's an emergency room physician with St. Luke's, as we talked about going on mission trips over to Thailand to train medics who are in Myanmar helping ethnic groups over there. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.